Well, here we are getting ready for week four in the CFL with the Green Zone Blitz, the podcast. Jamie and Britton with you once again to get you set. Of course, the Riders and the BC Lions on Saturday. But as always, we want to start with last week, a recap of what we saw in Toronto, a 39-32 dramatic ending. Mario Alford's 99-yard kick return touchdown for the win in a walk-off in a penalty-filled, sloppy affair that ended in drama, as the CFL is prone to do. And the Riders start the season 3-0 for the second straight year under Corey Mace.
Yeah, and for the third straight week, we can say, doesn't matter how you do it, all that matters is you find a way to win, because wasn't the prettiest game by the Riders. As mentioned, it was just sloppy with the penalties. Brett Lawther misses another clutch kick, but hey, the team found a way to win. They found a way. Someone made a play when it mattered. And at the end of the day, this team is 3-0, and we'll wait to see what happens in the Bombers game. I know that you expect the Bombers to lose this week, Jamie. But right now, they're leading the way in the West Division, which is all you could have asked for at this point in the season if you're a Rider fan and the team as well.
Wow, already taking shots at me about that Elks pick right off the hop. Cool.
We'll get to that later.
Cool. We will see tonight on a Thursday night game. But Mario Alford, he's got that burst back. It's clear. And you talk to him. What's he saying about his season? What is he saying on why we've seen, and even Kent Maggiore you talked to, about a refreshed, it appears, Mario Alford?
Yeah, Alford wasn't too forthcoming in terms of, he said he goes out there and competes, right? He's a competitor. He didn't like how last season went. He admitted that he had a few big returns called back due to penalties last season, and he knew about that. But Kent Maggiore was the one who really provided some insight and said, Mario Alford is running angry this year. He is using last year's motivation to try and improve. And we've seen it so far. He runs up the field really fast right now. He doesn't go to the sidelines. He's looking for those holes. And he was rewarded with the Toronto Argonauts not having that extra defender, sure. But he's one of the most dynamic returners in CFL history. He would find if it's there, he's going to find a lane to run up. And so he took advantage. And just yet another one of these phases this team has found a way to win with this year so far.
So you have that, but right before that kick, it was a touchdown and a two-point conversion to tie. And the reason that was allowed was because Brett Lawther missed another field goal, and it was a short field goal for Brett Lawther. And that was a single point. Rather than go up by 10, it was only 8. That allowed Toronto to tie it late in the game. Like, that's another missed kick. That's last week before the Toronto game, it was, you know, could have blown out the Hamilton Tiger Cats, but, you know, 4 missed kicks. You talk to Kent Maggiore. What are we doing here? Like, there's no kicker coming in. Corey May still says Brett Lawther's the guy. They still say it's not the hold. But CFL games are too close to keep missing kicks.
Yeah, they need to figure it out. Listen, whatever it is, Kent Maggiore said it wasn't the hold. It's just like kind of a golf swing with Brett Lawther. You know, you switch one thing, it can completely throw everything out of whack. They're trying to fix it, but you need to hit these kicks, especially as you face some of these teams who will be battling for top spots in the division. Now, the Riders have had some tough scheduling to start this season. They've had to go out east, short week out east. They did face the defending Grey Cup champions, though, minus Chad Kelly. You have to wonder when these kicks are going to start to kind of lead them to a loss, and that could definitely happen against a team this week, against a team like the BC Lions, especially if Nathan Rourke plays, or when you do face the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Those teams will make you pay if you don't get the points when you need to.
Yeah, so when you look at that, it'll be closely watched again against BC. And if he misses another kick, you're going to hear boos. I know you're going to hear boos this week. Rider fans are getting more. You're not patient. Patience runs things for kickers and quarterbacks if they're throwing interceptions and missing kicks. As much as everybody really enjoys Brett Lawther, he's a really community-oriented guy with the CFLPA and the Tom Pate Award a few years ago and everything like that. he'd win the all-time good guy award, I think. But it's, and Brett Lawther knows it, it's the production you put on the field. And hopefully he gets through this, because he has made a lot of clutch kicks in his career with the Rough Riders. With game on the line, you see him put the ball through. You know he has the clutch gene in him. We've seen it before with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Mm-hmm. But there was another ugly thing in that game, and that was 18 penalties. 29 combined for both teams. Mm-hmm. I didn't see much running at practice, but I wasn't at all of them. Like, mm-hmm. How did Corey Mace handle that? Because we saw how he handled discipline in the training camp. Is it carrying over to the regular season after their worst performance by far with 18 penalties?
Yeah, no running in terms of that. They have brought back their system from last year. Corey Mace said they had a system last year, seemed to work pretty good, and they brought it back after the 18 penalties because, listen, I know it's what have you done for me lately. Lately, this team has done 18 penalties, but they were very disciplined for the first 2 weeks. They were one of the least penalized teams in the league. Now, they're one of the most, because 18 in one game will do that. But they've brought back whatever the system was. They wouldn't go into much detail in that, but just talking to Malik Carney, the players know that was too many penalties. And so we'll see if that system, whatever it is, whatever they were doing last year, they liked it, they brought it back. We'll see if that translates to a more disciplined team this week.
There's good. AJ Ouellette, good. Tommy Stevens, good. Doesn't like tugboat. I have to find a new name. Maybe Torpedo, Touchdown Tommy, something like that for the Rough Riders. It was Dante Meyer's turn in the receiving corps. We've seen Sam Emelis go for over 100, Keyshawn Johnson go for over 100, and then Dante Meyer's goes for over 102 touchdowns against the Toronto Argonauts. So there was the positive side of that offense for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, rather than just, you know. And then defense, again, gives up an early touchdown, but locks it down for the better part of that game until it kind of got away from them in the fourth quarter as the Toronto Argonauts charge back.
Yeah, for the most part, they held Nick Arbuckle in check. It was just that last drive. The zone defense kind of allow the defense to give you what they will. Came back and bit the Riders on that one, and you know that they will once again try to clean that up and ensure that doesn't happen again this season.
But, of course, the big talk of Friday night's 39-32 win, there's no doubt. Let's just get after it. Let's add our voice to the ongoing conversation around Luke Wilson. Now with CFL TSN, he does a lot of the work, of course, on the NFL primetime stuff with Jay Onright, former Seattle Seahawk, a tight end, Super Bowl champion, was the guest speaker at the U of S Huskies Dogs Breakfast and entertained up there. He is a personality. There's no doubt about it, and he's not afraid to have an opinion. So let's get after it on Luke Wilson's thought on that game being hot garbage, mm-hmm. junk football. There was a lot to break down on Luke Wilson's, I don't want to call it a tirade, but harsh criticism on where the Canadian Football League is. Now, I'm going to preface this with Britton, we've had a private conversation about Luke Wilson on his personality and what he's trying to do, but it's also a conversation of what we are seeing on social media in this era. I feel there's a lot of people out there using Luke Wilson as a platform to get clicks. There's no doubt in my mind that they will run to a Luke Wilson tweet and want to comment on it right away, because he's got an umpty list and he's got the CFL top fans list. So there are people clamoring to get Luke Wilson's attention. I am not clamoring to get Luke Wilson's attention, because all he's done is create a dialogue in the Canadian Football League. And I think it's a dialogue that is a healthy one to have, but at times it gets a little cumbersome on the ongoing what is wrong with the CFL conversation. Yes, there are blemishes. Yes, there were 29 penalties. Yes, the clock runs different at the end of the games. But I agree with Bo Levi Mitchell. If you're telling me people at home watching that game were not entertained by a tying touchdown and a two-point convert followed by a 99-yard kick return to end the game, if you're telling me those people for that segment of time were not entertained by that product, you're lying to yourself. You are completely lying to yourself. Was it a good quality football game for 60 minutes? Absolutely not. That's where Luke Wilson's bang on. It was a sloppy game. There was a lot of penalties. It was bogged down by the penalties, let's be honest. However, I cannot criticize the conclusion of that game. That game's finish was absolutely entertaining. He's wrong on that point, but he's right where it goes. If you watch the first 55 minutes of that game, no, that doesn't sell the CFL very well with 29 penalties and not a lot of big plays until we saw the fourth quarter start to go. Although Tommy Stevens' 19-yard run and A.J. Ouellette's big run and Dante Meyer's big touchdown also happened in that game. There were big plays that happened in that football game.
Yeah, I agree in terms of a lot of what you said and what I also Luke Wilson, that he's, I will admit, he is engaging people. He will, at least if you tweet at him, he does engage you. He doesn't just let you yell into the void and kind of just sit back and laugh. Look what I did, made people angry. He'll engage with you and whatever the list is. But yeah, the penalties. I mean, it was sloppy football for most of that game. There was exciting moments. We've discussed before the CFL operations cap. They need to get rid of it and bring back some mini camps because unfortunately with the, like, I look back to this season, the CFL preseason's already too short. Two games, not enough to really install everything, especially when you have a team like the Riders. Trevor Harrison, the starters, played one half the first preseason game. Nothing the second. So that's a long time to go without game, getting into the game and having that game speed. And that's what leads to what frankly, the CFL right now, 2, 3, 4 weeks into it, still feels like an extended preseason for a lot of these starters as they work out these systems and kind of still get used to each other at game speed. And so, yeah, 29 penalties for 307 yards. Absolutely agree that that's absurd. And teams need to kind of bring that in.
Oh, there's no doubt. Now, the one thing I did want to do, and I when I saw that, I forget if it was a morning or at night when it went viral, this tweet, I was like, okay, that's a lot of, you know, problems he found with the Canadian Football League. And I knew Luke likes to engage, and that's where I appreciate he likes to engage with people. And I engaged with him a little bit, too, on one of the points, because it wasn't in this tweet. It was not in this tweet. He tweeted a response to somebody because they said, they asked him, okay, that's a lot of problems. What are your solutions? And that's where he dug into the solutions around this game is so detail-oriented that not enough time is put into the detail for these players. The players want more time around the facility with their coaches, but it's in the CBA. It's very limited time. I know they don't get paid NFL money. Okay, that's fine. But minimum salary is $60,000. For 6 months. Like, I know it's a full-time job to be ready there during the off season for that, but you know, I work 8 hours a day, right? There's a lot of people who don't make millions. Everybody on earth, 99.9% of the population on earth work 40 hours a week with their bosses and make way less than $60,000 a year. Way less than $300,000 a year for, you know, top offensive linemen, way less than $500,000 a year for quarterbacks. So you're telling me those guys can't work for 8 hours a day to detail their game? Like, that's where I agree with Luke Wilson, where it's a preparation problem. And I've talked about this, the cap on the coaches. I'm not sure if an extra coach helps. Sure, they can do a little bit more film work and cut some stuff up for the players and stuff like that. There needs to be limitations on how far we can go. We can't go back to Chris Jones bringing in all his buddies and having a football operations budget that blows everybody out of the water and makes it a different tiered league. But, you know, bring back the $200,000 or whatever it was you paid in the offseason to do the 3 or 4 days in Bradenton, Florida. So Britain can go to Florida and cover a mini camp. Outside of Britain being able to go to Florida and cover a rookie camp or a mini camp with all the veterans and everything, that helped. Because they would go down there in April, they would do their days, they would get into the playbook, they would put it on the field, they'd get their film, and then they'd be able to break it down for a month and go, okay, what did we see? What are some tweaks? What are some strengths? Oh, this rookie looked little. Well, maybe we want to give him a bigger shot at the start of camp and help the development factor. All those things have gone away in the CFL, and they're still at the same baseline amount of time they spend in the office, so to speak, with the coaches. That was the tweet. That was the response from Luke Wilson where I went, that's pretty well bang on. That is bang on. This league can push a little bit more to get these players better prepared throughout the week, a little bit more training before the season starts, because let's be honest, weeks 1 through 4, I tweeted at him, it is preseason football. Like, that's what we're watching right now. And that's why it is hard to sell a regular season game when there's still, you know, things being worked on. Happens in the NFL too, let's be honest. First 2 weeks of the NFL are pretty much extended preseason as well. But they have a lot more time. As I pointed out, Buffalo Bills have like 9 days on the field before training camp even starts. The CFL has zero, and they have a shorter training camp than the NFL. So, yeah, this is what you get because of that.
I did enjoy Luke Wilson going after the final 3 minutes, because outside of taking away three downs, the final 3 minutes are the things that CFL fans are absolutely love, right? Like, that's one of the main sticking points of what makes the CFL great. He went after it. It gets engagement. We can talk about the Rouge. The Rouge is something that gets brought up every year. I think they should tweak it a little bit. I don't know. I can't remember what you think about the Rouge, but being able to, I think it was the Riders
the
last
season.
The ball
should be in bounds.
Yes.
The Riders won.
Someone lost a game. I think it was the Riders lost a game on a Rouge where the kicker went out, hit it wide left, and was celebrating before that thing crossed the goal line because he knew he booted it far enough.
Yeah, it was Liram Hirilahu with the Toronto Argonauts in Toronto last year on a Rouge to win. It was a missed. Last year in Toronto. Coincidentally enough, last year in Toronto raised a big debate on the Green Zone about that. I'm for amending the Rouge. You have to concede the point, not watch a ball fly over your head and then get a point, and the other team gets a point. So they're not going to change it. Stu Johnston has said they're not changing the Rouge. The Rouge is, they're not changing.
Can we move
they're not
the
talking
goal
about the rules.
Can we put the goalpost to
Stop
the back
it.
Of the end zone?
Stop it. Stop it.
That's
not, you and Daryl.
That's change I make.
To stop it.
Nope. Okay.
So when you're at the 20-yard line, you have to kick a 48-yard field goal.
Yeah, force teams to go for it a little bit more.
So it's second and third and 15 from the 20-yard line because you got an offside penalty. And you have to either go for it on third and 15 or kick a 48-yard field goal.
Sure.
That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
We can work through the
end zone. The end
that.
Zones. This isn't the NFL. That's why this 10-yard end zones in the NFL. So if you're at the 20, that's a 38-yard field goal in the NFL. But that's a 48-yard field goal in the CFL. No. No. I vehemently disagree with that. And you don't even see it in the NFL where teams are going for it because of the field goal posts are at the back of the end zone because their kickers can kick 70 damn yard field goals now, and it's made it pointless. Anyways,
but yeah,
enough with moving a field goal post back.
But yeah, Luke Wilson, he went through a lot of things. There were a lot of things in that tweet. The Argos not fielding a full kickoff team. Yet mistakes happen. It happens in the NFL, but once again, this is about being prepared. And as we mentioned, it feels sometimes like a preseason. Teams work through this. But the quarterback sneaks. Come on. There are exciting stuff in the CFL. If you haven't watched Rider games over the past few seasons, they've been the most analyzed plays by fans in this that have watched this team because of how you didn't know what you were getting from that position.
But that's a matter of just like the penalties. That's a matter of circumstance. Like, there are games that you get two or three QB sneaks because there's not second and ones and third and ones, right? And then some days there's 12. And some days teams who have Tommy Stevens are going to go, what, second and two? Okay, let's just throw Tommy out there and get that first down. That's how football works. You have a play like the tush push, right? Yeah. Like there are some games where the Philadelphia Eagles don't run one. There are games where they run six. So it that was game script more than, you know, what actually happens every single game in the CFL. And for the Argos pressures, yeah, Ryan Dinwiddie ripped his offensive line after the game. One guard in particular that only weighs 280 pounds, apparently, according to Ryan Dinwiddie. And I get it. He's mad at the entertainment value, and people jump up and down and say, wow, what a game. What a finish.
What a finish.
What a finish. Not what a game. Not even on the post-game show, we weren't jumping up and down saying what a game. It was what a finish. There's a big difference.
Exactly. And so Luke Wilson, as we mentioned, it's about everyone wants to grow the game. He views that growing the game is by increasing the quality of the product. That's what he views in more exciting football. I still think that, listen, I think you can have conversations about how to improve the league. Every league, every year, should have conversations about, is this working, or what do fans like, what don't they like, and continue to grow. But I think in terms of getting younger fan base out there, I said it on social media, I'm going to bang the drum for a CFL video game again, because it's such a big market that you don't have access to right now. You just don't.
Is it a big market? How many people do you think would buy a CFL video game?
I think if you put one out
there, for the amount of money they put in there, for the amount of money it will cost to produce a CFL video game, how much of that money do they actually make back?
I think that there is a market out there. There are football fans who are sick and tired of paying $100 to play Madden every year for a game that has just lacked quality recently. I think if there's a way to do it, every console now, every PC has an online shop. You don't even have to make discs anymore. That cuts down on your distribution costs. And then I think football fans, if you put an all right game out there, they're willing to at least give it a try if the price is right. And then just getting brand recognition out there just works. Just allowing people who've never seen the CFL to find a team, go out with a player and play with that player, I think that works wonders in terms of getting younger kids out.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with you. I don't. I think, you know, the engagement factor of a video game would be great, but it's got to make, the CFL's got to make financial sense. I know, they got to spend money to make money, right?
Yeah.
I get that too. But how much money are you losing and actually gaining back? Because are the kids these days getting a CFL video game when they can get the NCAA game and the Madden game? What I think they need to do is they need to have an add-on to the NCAA football game. I don't know what the agreement would have to be, what you'd have to give up on name, image, likeness now being a thing in NCAA. They're more like pro football players. I'm wondering if the CFL could work with EA Sports to have a CFL add-on to one of those video games every single year, that you pay an extra $25 to have the CFL add-on for distribution. But that would have to have an NFL and a CFL agreement, which we haven't seen in a while.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL bailed them out decades ago. But I would like to see one, but I just don't know right if it's actually monetarily a smart thing to do. But they need to throw the game in the younger demographic. You got to get them to the game. You got to get them watching the game. And it is a battle that I don't know anybody truly has the answer to. Everybody wants to blame marketing, marketing. It's a marketing problem. It's a marketing problem. I said it on the Green Zone. I think part of the marketing problem is the discourse problem, like the one we just had and the one Luke Wilson brings up. It turns into what's wrong with the CFL. and that is pitching the game at a negative, right? People listen and they go, oh, the CFL is bad because everybody's talking about what's wrong with it and how to fix it. So it can't be good. Nobody has that conversation with the NFL. How do you fix the NFL? Nobody is having that conversation. There are things bad in the National Football League. Fair catches are terrible for entertainment. Absolutely. Yeah. The ball bouncing around and a linebacker just standing over it and waiting. That's boring as sin. Nobody talks about that. Nobody's like, oh, I got to fix that. No, they don't. When the Cleveland Browns play the Jacksonville Jaguars to a 9-6 game, nobody goes on Twitter and goes, what a hot garbage football game, and starts going off on what's wrong with the National Football League. But that's what happens in the Canadian Football League when you have four games a week and they're all in prime time and they're all the main focus. I've also said it. I think there needs to be a discussion on whether on Saturdays there's three games. There's a primetime game, and then two games go on at the exact same time, and people have an option. Which game do you want to watch? Maybe one's a dud, and you can turn it over to another one. So, yeah. I think that is a conference. Have their Friday night football, a Saturday night primetime, and then two games in the afternoon that are on at the exact same time. Yeah. If I were king. Sorry to the rec laws in Thursday night football, but you're done. I'm doing Fridays and Saturdays, and that's it. Fair enough. I can't believe I said that.
I know, right? How dare you speak ill of the rec laws in any way? But
That's not ill of the rec laws. I'm just getting rid of Thursday night football.
I mean, I agree, but once again, the discourse is out there. Luke Wilson got it going again. Everyone had an opinion on it.
I pissed off Bart. Oh, my goodness. He does not sound happy about me getting rid of Thursday.
One of the dogs is not happy.
They didn't like that, getting rid of Thursday night football. Apologize.
Yeah, but nope. So, hey, discussion's good. As I said, whether or not you disagree with it, you can absolutely disagree with Luke Wilson. He brought a discussion point out there, and people discussed it. That's all you can do when you bring up how you can fix the CFL.
Oh, and by the way, can you stop talking about his hair and his mustache? Like, seriously.
Everybody's texting talking about his hair.
Oh, my goodness. It's like, what do you think of Luke Wilson's tweet? I didn't disagree with it, but he needs a haircut. Like, oh, my goodness. Where are we? Are we in the military? Like, seriously.
So apparently Luke Wilson's doing every Friday night game. He's traveling across the country for the Friday night games. I can't wait for him to be in Saskatchewan because of just how, like, the CFL is just the king here in Saskatchewan. I think he might get booed more than Henry Burris did or close to it when he gets out here because of how many people love the way the current CFL is here. I can't wait to see what his reception is like on the Friday night game here.
There's two Friday nighters coming up. He's got one against Toronto later in the season, but the next two home games after the BC game. Sorry, I'm looking at the schedule behind me. Calgary at Saskatchewan and Edmonton at Saskatchewan, July 11th, July 25th. So
can't wait to see him here. And yeah. Like I said, I can't wait to see that reception because I know he, based on what I've heard from people just around town, he ticked off quite a few people here in Saskatchewan by calling the CFL junk football.
He didn't call the CFL. Here's the other thing. He's not calling the CFL hot garbage. He's not calling the CFL junk football. He was referencing that game. He was referencing that game on what he critiqued. And by the way, one thing I appreciate with Luke Wilson that everybody wants to bring up is everybody's saying, oh, go back to the NFL. Not once that I've gone through has he ever said, the CFL is this, the NFL is this. Everybody wants to make that leap that he's comparing it to the NFL. No. He looked at that game and saw the circumstances of that game and went, really, we're doing this? Like, this is how it works? And in saying that, some people think, well, it's assumed he's comparing it to the NFL. Nope. He's not saying the CFL needs the 40-second clock like the NFL does. He's not saying CFL refs are worse than NFL refs. All he was saying was there was a lot of penalties, and he thought the dink and dunk drive of the Toronto Argonauts wasn't that entertaining. Although, I don't know, when it's, you're going down the field and there's a 130 left and you can score a touchdown in that short of time to allow the other team to go down the field and score another touchdown, I'd rather that, to be honest. But there's another big story. We're half an hour in. We've talked about.
I know. It's a long Trevor tweet for by Luke. But yeah, Trevor Harris.
Trevor Harris. We're doing it's the I'm pretty sure it's the Jake Mayer show on Saturday against the BC Lions. If Trevor Harris was close, I think he would have been out there on Wednesday's practice, like going through the mentals of it. He wasn't out there, and somebody who was outside the stadium waiting to get in for practice actually saw him get in his car and leave. So it was like, whether it's a doctor's appointment or whatever it was, but I think he would have been out at that practice. I know Trevor Harris is Trevor Harris and he doesn't need time. Like, he knows this offense. He knows how to play football, but I don't know, Britton. I think our gut says the same thing, that when the depth chart comes out on Friday, it's going to say Jake Mayer, Jack Cohn, Tommy Stevens on it.
Yeah, I was at about a 10% chance of that happening because Trevor Harris was out there on day one. That's why I was like, okay, maybe he is still feeling unwell. And I asked Corey Mace twice this week, both days, about the concussion because he did take that hit. And Corey Mace hasn't come out and said, yes, he has a concussion, but he hasn't said, no, he doesn't. They're being safe with him. They're keeping kind of everything open, want to player safety.
That's the same as a yes.
Pretty much. But that jumped, 10% jumped to 75% when I was out there the other day, and Trevor Harris was nowhere to be seen, and Jake Mayer was taking all the reps out there. It's just, I think it's Jake Mayer playing, which adds just another wrinkle into this regular season contest between the Lions, but I'm interested to see what Jake Mayer can do. I've had my criticisms of him. I wasn't overly impressed in preseason, but at the end of the day, he started over 40 games in the CFL. He's won a number of those games. It's not like he's a quarterback who has never won a game in the CFL. I am excited to see what he can do because he was at his best with Mark Mueller there. I want to see him kind of regain that magic that made the Calgary Stampeders move off of Bo Levi Mitchell.
Yeah, the guy who, you know, started his career with like four consecutive 300-yard passing games. There is something there. You don't do that by fluke. You don't do that by fluke. And he's comfortable with Mark Mueller. He's comfortable with this offense. Not all the way, nowhere near where Trevor Harris is with, you know, like the play calling and things like that. We do see practice and go, okay, that was a bad decision. That was a bad throw here and there. But as he said, you know, that final day when they work on a lot of the, you know, green and go type stuff in the green zone is now, I like that term, by the way, by Corey Mace instead of the red zone. Green means go. And those third down or second down type plays, he'll feel even better for it. So I'll be interested to see if it is him, and we're assuming it will be Jake Mayer. Because when you have a bye week coming up, and if Trevor Harris isn't all the way there, you're 3-0. Like, there's no rush here to put Trevor Harris in the – make sure he's good to go, give him the bye week, and hang out with his kids, and then, boom, it's another stretch of, what, four games until the next bye week. So, this is why you bring in Jake Mayer. This is why you bring him in. You have the veteran in there who can fill that gap if need be, when need be, instead of going like 1-5-1 with Shea Patterson as they did last year.
Yeah, exactly. The team made an investment in the backup quarterback spot. It's for these situations. And so let's see what he can do. Like I said, I've done my criticisms of Jake Mayer, but I'm willing to let's see what happens now.
Have you?
Yes. Shockingly. But excited to see what he can do. But it just adds like another wrinkle because who would have thought that we might be getting Jeremiah Mazzoli against Jake Mayer this early in the season?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. There's a lot of QB injuries. We'll go around the CFL. You know, McLeod Bethel-Thompson starting. Jeremiah Masoli, might see Jake Mayer starting. You have Drew Brown, who Dustin Crum's still taking first-team reps with Ottawa. Chad Kelly's not fully healthy yet because they've had to start the year with Nick Arbuckle. It's not where you want the CFL to be just 4 weeks in with all the backups being in. But, hey, when the backups are those guys who have that much CFL experience with Masoli and everybody else, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
The AGM, though, Britton, we need to bring up that before we go around the CFL. Riders, over $2 million profit. Good news story off the field for the Rough Riders, and probably has something to do with their success on the field getting to a West final last year.
I mean, the home playoff game helps as well, hosting the West semi. Just better positive momentum for this team. It's been a while since they've had some positive momentum coming out of a season, or even during a season, which was what the financials would have shown last year. Good news there. The season ticket sales, it's kind of a weird thing. Last year, they did see a decrease in season ticket sales, but still made more in gate revenue because Craig Reynolds has said people are changing how they decide to buy tickets. They're a lot more a day or two before the day of deciding, well, it's nice, so what? Like, why not? We have nothing else going on. Let's make a weekend out of it. And so they saw some good stuff there. And their merchandise moved. That Obsidian green jersey, people really flocked to it. It really helped drive it up. Their highest merchandise sales since 2018, pre-pandemic. So good news there. We've always talked about how the Riders merchandise is, it's the bread and butter, right? That's why you see it everywhere at any sporting event. It's Spot the Rider jersey. And good news there. And now I think that it's building that positive momentum. You like what you've seen here in Saskatchewan, despite the fact they're not selling out games like they used to. They're still turning a profit, which is good news for the CFL, and hopefully can maybe help show some other teams. Maybe we can talk about the CFL financials another time, right? Other teams also need to find ways to make money, but it's good the Riders are back to making money after a loss last year.
Well, and revenue sharing is in again in the Canadian Football League. So when the Riders are making money, the rest of them, when the Bombers are making money, that helps the rest of the league as well. So, you know, a lot of leagues do revenue sharing. I'm glad the CFL is doing it because, you know, you raise the level, you raise the bar. I know some people get worried that, oh, those other teams that aren't making money will just sit there and, the Riders and Bombers are going to make us money, so we don't have to do much of anything. But that's why I think, you know, going back to the football operations and things like that, that's where you can push a team to go, no, this is, you need to get going here to keep up with the product on the field. So there's a little bit of the AGM. Of course, Britton has all the details on our website, cjme.com and cklm.com, but it's interesting that, you know, you need Mother Nature can now help us out a little bit, I guess, to sell tickets in Saskatchewan because people want to see, what's the weather going to be like? Should I go to the lake or should I go to the game? Those type of things. So we'll see what they do. Now, around the CFL, Britton, you've already pointed out one of my picks, but let's go back to last week first. Montreal beat Edmonton. Ottawa beat Calgary. Winnipeg beat BC. Saskatchewan, Toronto. Last week, four road teams all won football games in the Canadian Football League. Montreal's undefeated, Saskatchewan's undefeated, Winnipeg's undefeated. Calgary suffers their first loss in a wind, rain, gross game against the Ottawa Red Blacks, which was a run fest for Ottawa. But Ottawa gets in the win column. It's weird how there's this discrepancy. Some teams at the bottom who haven't won yet and some teams at the top who are undefeated early going this season. We'll see if that trend continues.
Yeah, we'll have to see. As mentioned, that Ottawa-Calgary game was funny with how the rain was, and there was no one there, which, like, good on you if you were one of the 70 people who went to that game, because that was a dumping of rain. It's still, as the season goes on, I think the teams that we like are going to eventually pull away. Ottawa was a team that just didn't feel like they were as bad as 0-2. Calgary doesn't feel like a team that was as good as 2-0, and we kind of saw that come to fruition. I mean, unfortunately, quarterback injuries, we'll talk a little bit more about it. Montreal lose Davis Alexander in that game, which isn't good. So, but not a bad week of CFL football, but it was just there were certain points in every game that you were kind of like that was a blowout by Montreal and Edmonton by Montreal to Edmonton until Davis Alexander was hurt. You had a monsoon, and then Jeremiah Mazzoli didn't look great against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Neither did Zach Collins. That offense looked like a little less dynamic with Zach out there.
Okay, interesting. Let's get to the picks this week then and start with Edmonton and Winnipeg. Everybody's on my you-know-what that I picked the Edmonton Elks. It's right there on CFL.ca. It's a short week for the Bombers. They only have one day of practice to get ready for the Elks. They played Saturday to Thursday. The Elks have a full week of preparation. Yes, they lost to the Montreal Alouettes, but on a short week with a mobile quarterback, I like Justin Rankin out of the backfield. I think that can be a dynamic duo with what Trey Ford and he can do. You have, you know, Terrell Ford coming back to Winnipeg. You just said it. Without Brady Oliveira, maybe saw a little less dynamic offense from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers as that game wore on against the BC Lions. I think we're fit for an upset. Call me crazy, as everybody is on social media. But, hey, short week, mobile quarterback. My hunch says upset.
Yeah, that's crazy. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers will handle business against the Elks. As much as I've been on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers recently, Trey Ford doesn't instill any confidence in me, as I was hoping he would at this point in the season already. He's exciting, dynamic, but I don't think he's playing winning football right now. I'd like to be wrong. I like Trey Ford and what he can bring, but it just hasn't felt like it. The way he plays is translating into wins, and I think Winnipeg will handle business as the veteran team.
I have another upset this week. Game number two, Montreal against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Montreal with McLeod Bethel-Thompson. It's official. He will start. The Tiger Cats were 3-0 last year coming off the bye. They're coming off a bye at home against the Alouettes. Win number one for Hamilton, loss number one for Montreal is my prediction.
I agree with that. I like Hamilton, too, coming off the bye week, a veteran quarterback with Bo Levi Mitchell. And they're going to play with some desperation. The Montreal Alouettes out to 3-0. They're a few games ahead of the other teams in the East right now because other teams have been struggling so far. McLeod Bethel-Thompson starting. I like Hamilton to go in there, get the upset, because Davis Alexander isn't playing this week. And it feels like that team is due for one.
Toronto and Ottawa will end the week on Sunday, by the way. That game's in Ottawa. When I made my pick, I thought Drew Brown was going to be back for the Ottawa Red Blacks. That might not be the case. We'll see how the rest of the week goes out. But still, I know Toronto came back against the Riders, but they are not right. And Ottawa finding their run game in Calgary, I think, might show the path of, you know, a personality for their offense. And they held Calgary to only 12 points and stymied Vernon Adams. I think the Ottawa Redblacks win at home on Sunday.
Yeah, I haven't seen. I don't know if Chad Kelly is expected to start this game or not. I thought
Ryan did what he said. He might be ready. Yeah. But even then, he hasn't done much. So you're going to throw him in without much of a training camp, without much practice.
Yeah.
During the week. And his leg is clearly not fully 100%. So
I think they have a bye week in the next couple of weeks as well. So. I'd like Ottawa, I guess, if that's the case. Dustin Crum, if they can run the ball, Dustin Crum can play winning football, as he was also a big part of that. Looks like he might get the start this week. So Ottawa to improve, because I just like that Ottawa team. I like what they've done. It's just a matter of getting their quarterback back.
And then, of course, the BC Lions and the Saskatchewan Roughriders might be the battle of the backups at Mosaic Stadium with Jeremiah Masoli. We'll see what Nathan Rourke's status is when the depth chart comes out Friday. And then you have the Saskatchewan Roughriders with Jake Mayer, likely without Trevor Harris in that game. I like the way the Riders have run the ball recently. I can see them running the ball strong again, even if it's Jake Mayer. The home crowd, the defense will probably give up the first drive touchdown or second drive touchdown and then lock it down the rest of the way. I got the Riders to go 4-0. Britton.
I also have the Riders, mostly because I know BC's only faced Winnipeg, but that defense looks like it has a ton of holes they've been dealing with. Teams can run on them, and that's, I think, what the Riders want to do. And I don't think it matters if it's Nathan Rourke or Jeremiah Mazzoli this week for the Lions. Nathan Rourke is still at that point. I need to see it again. As I've mentioned, right now there is one half of Nathan Rourke this season that we can say that was great. Everything else has been average to bad football. Maybe this is the week. Maybe he goes out and does that Nathan Rourke game we know he can do. But until he does it, I'm leaning more to what he's done so far than what I think he can do. So I'm going with the Riders.
There you have it. Our week four picks. One final note. Why aren't there games on Canada Day? I know it's a Tuesday. I get it. I know it's a Tuesday. But I think the CFL has to have a doubleheader every Canada Day. Figure it out. Have some teams have a bye week on a weird thing, something like that. Work it into the schedule. Every year there should be a doubleheader on Canada Day.
I agree. There's nothing else going on right now. You can have the full day where you make Canada Day football.
TSN's probably like, we can't have it on Canada Day. That's free agent frenzy in the National Hockey League.
Also that.
Our programming can't do it. And that's where it's like, come on. You have five bleeping channels.
Yeah.
Let's go here. But I guess Canada Day will just hand it over to the NHL to own the... own the stuff on free agent frenzy day. But I think there should be, because it's a gate driven league. Nobody's sitting at home on their couch watching free agent frenzy on July the 1st. They want to go to the park with their family and have a hot dog and watch a football game. They'd rather do that on Canada Day. So sorry, that's another little nugget of beef right at the end of the game. Of course, our pregame show on Saturday will be at 3:00 with myself, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson, all of Britton Gray's coverage, all or nothing, focusing on the defensive player of the year, Roland Milligan Jr. Can he be even better in 2025? What else you got coming up on the pregame show?
Got a chance to talk to Tommy Stevens, a little bit of the player profile on him, and who started the fact that they played Wild Thing after every first down he got in Calgary. So, interesting story there about whose idea it was. It wasn't Tommy's.
All righty. We'll get that on the pregame show, 3:00 on Saturday. Again, like, subscribe, share, tell a friend where to find the Blitz podcast each and every week, getting you set for every Rider game day as the Riders take on the Lions Saturday. Hopefully it looks like it's going to be a nice night for football at Mosaic Stadium. Enjoy the Canada Day long weekend. All those kids off school, have a good summer, and we'll be back with the Blitz when the Riders are taking on the Calgary Stampeders.